Before we start, I'd like to introduce Shani Aviram. She's over here. I want to say hello. She's a middle student. She's producing a program for public radio, KALW, on the Iraq and Afghan veterans. So if anyone would like to speak to her during the evening, she'd love to talk.
Let her stand up.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Bill Creighton. I'm president of the Veterans for Peace San Francisco. And welcome. We're certainly thrilled and honored to have the debut, the world premiere of Occupation Has No Future, Upheaval Productions, and David Slepik. I can't think of a better place for this to begin than right here in San Francisco, in the Veterans Building, our veterans, Veterans for Peace, Iraq Veterans Against the War. This is our home, and welcome. I'll tell them. Somebody in the back row wants me to remind you to turn off your cell phones. Turn off the ringers. Thank you. And the facilities outside the door, both here and on the other hallway. There's not an intermission plan for this evening, so as you like. The program is going to be the film first, and there'll be some comments from David, and time for question and answer period. I'm thinking about a half an hour or so, depends how that goes. I just came back from a cross-country trip. I drove to Arkansas and back. And along the way, I stopped in a few post offices, and you see all the recruitment material up there and all the incentives for joining the military. And you hear the radio programs out there. There is as if there's no war going on. The same is also in San Francisco. This is San Francisco, and you can walk around the city and you have no sense of the war going on. Except for many of the people that are here. When I came back, I got back on Friday night at midnight, and the next day, Veterans for Peace, we marched in solidarity with the people of Egypt. It was an extraordinary march that took place on short notice, a couple hundred people from Market Street up to the United Nations Plaza here. And like you see on television, there are families, there are grandmothers, there are children. A huge, tightly knitted community that came out for this. And I thought, well, maybe someday we might have a march like that. So, it's the power of film, power of media, to get the word out, to get the ideas out to the country that doesn't hear about them. So with that, let's see the power of film and let the film begin. Thank you.
Going to moderate, what I'm going to do is ask for your support. And this is a really powerful documentary, and I'm part of the Catalyst Project, which was part of the delegation, and one of the reasons why we wanted to be a part of this was to really lift up the voices of grassroots leaders in Palestine and also Israel, to be able to show that not only is there grassroots organizing against what's happening, but there's a vision of a different way of being in society, of demilitarizing society, of pulling war and racism out of our society to be able to build up the possibilities for cooperation, for people to be able to live together, for genuine democratic principles to thrive, for justice and equality within society. And so in order for this to be shown all over the country, we need the people like us, who are a base of support for a film like this, for the delegation like this, to help fund it. And so right now we have a goal of raising $1,000 in this room, which I think we're going to do no problem. So I'd like to try to get us to raise $1,500 to be able to get these DVDs out, to be able to help support grassroots efforts in schools, campuses, and communities with community groups all over the country to be able to help lift up these voices. You can make checks out to Upheaval Productions. You can borrow money from a friend if you don't have any on you. You can pool your money to try to make a contribution of $100 as maybe the five or six of you sitting next to the other. But it's really critical that we help fund efforts to get these voices out there. And again, for Catalyst Project, one of the things that was really powerful about this was being able to bring forward the voices and the organizing that's happening in Israel. Because in many ways, for myself, as a U.S. citizen, being able to take inspiration from people who are resisting within a colonial project, who are resisting within the center of empire, the way that we are resisting here. And so to be able to be in solidarity and to support the resistance of the Palestinian people for self-determination and for justice, and to also support a vibrant, growing, small but vibrant, growing left social justice movement in Israel, just as we need to be building our movement here in the United States. And so we need to fund this, because what's happening in Egypt, what's happening all over the world right now, that's transforming world history. The U.S., with its proxy force in Israel, will always be not just a roadblock to progress, but will be a constant force pushing us into continual war, deprivation, and the idea that democracy and freedom are scarce commodities that only a few people can be able to afford. And so we need to be able to fight against U.S. empire and the apartheid of Israel to be able to meaningfully support democratic movements in Egypt, all over the world, as well as here in the U.S. And so let's raise $1,500, and my understanding is there are buckets over here. Let's get those passed around. Checks made at Upheaval Productions. Let's try to raise $1,500 so that not only in places like San Francisco, but in small towns and suburbs like where I grew up, in different parts of the country, we can help get this out there and help support groups to show it. So let's raise $1,500 tonight and support the Dan delegation and Upheaval Productions to get this video out into a broad circulation as a concrete way to support the leadership of the people who we saw in that documentary build their organizing.
So before we get started with the Q&A, is anyone from Veterans for Peace or AROC have an announcement?
Oh, we're going to do that at the end.
At the end? Okay, just kidding.
Just crap it through.
My name is Toby, and I'm with the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network. And I'm going to introduce the panelists tonight for the Q&A. David Zlotnick is the director of the film. He works through Upheaval Productions. He also produced Dos Americas, Reconstruction in New Orleans, and Down But Not Out, and all of those DVDs are available at that table over there. Claire Baker, to my left here, is a demilitarization organizer in the GI resistance and Palestinian solidarity movements. She organizes with the Catalyst Project and the War Resisters League. Eddie Falcone is a member of the of Iraq Veterans Against the War and veteran artists. And Matt will be here in a minute, and he also organizes with Iraq Veterans Against the War and veteran artists. So I think we're going to hear from the panelists first, then open up for questions. And during the Q&A, we're just going to try to keep it really focused on questions as opposed to statements, and questions that have to do with the movie and with the movements connected to the movie. And I'll be here to support us staying on topic.
Hi everybody, thanks so much for coming out tonight. We really appreciate such a good time. I just want to start by thanking you all, because the DAM delegation generally and the film as well would not have been possible without the support of friends and family here in the Bay Area. We organized a lot of benefits and parties, and I know a lot of you made small contributions yourselves to make this possible and allow Dialogues Against Militarism to go on the delegation to Israel and the occupied West Bank, and a lot of those resources also went to making this film happen. So thank you very much. I just want to talk very briefly about, I guess, why I'm happy and that I had the privilege to make this film. When Sarah Lazar, who can't be with us tonight because she's in Chicago right now, but she was part of the DAM delegation, and Matt Edwards, who is here, first approached me about this film and told me that they wanted to send a group of Iraq vets and anti-war organizers to Israel to support high school students who were refusing the draft. I was really surprised, not because I didn't know that this was going on. I had heard a bit about the Refusnik movement in Israel. I'd heard about Anarchists Against the Wall and other organizations of Israelis working in solidarity with the Palestinian struggle. But I was kind of surprised, because I realized that when they said that they wanted to document these conversations and bring them home, I realized I had never heard any of these people speak for themselves. You know, and there is stuff online, you can search for it, but it's, I realized I haven't really heard any Israeli voices speaking out strongly against the occupation and against what their government was doing. And, you know, you also don't hear a lot of Palestinian voices either doing that. And so so I was very happy to be able to participate in this film and hopefully bring these voices back and spread their messages around the U.S. and hopefully internationally as well. And then the second reason that I'm really glad that I was able to work on this project was just to kind of put a human face on what's going on. Oftentimes we hear about policy, we hear about the negotiations between Netanyahu and Abbas, and the Palestinian negotiator Arafat meets with the envoy George Mitchell or whatever, and we hear about land swaps and population transfers and the right of return and all these things, and you know, we hear this over years and years and years, and we don't really realize that people are living this reality day to day. And so to be able to go and meet with folks who live under occupation and to bring their stories back and not only show what their daily lives are like, but to show how they're resisting these lives that are under military control was for me an honor. That was the number one thing that almost everybody said was just bring our story back. So I'm very happy that I had a chance to do that and to also show that there are people within Israel who are breaking with the status quo there and showing what life is like there and trying to spread that message. So anyways, thank you all again for coming out. I'm going to pass it along to fellow folks in BAM.
Hey everyone, I'm Matt Edwards from DAM. Thank you all for coming. We're really proud that all of you showed up. Just going to give a little bit of context for the delegation, that way you sort of understand where the ideas came out of all of this, and then being here. Okay, great. In 2008, Sarah Lazar, in like November of 2008, Sarah Lazar, who can't be here, she's in Chicago, sent a drafted letter over the Iraq Veterans Against the War Bay Area list asking for endorsers to a letter. She worked for an organization called Courage to Resist. And, yep, they're awesome. And the letter basically said, we stand in solidarity with the Israeli refuseniks and those resisting induction of the IDF, the Shemini Steam. And she wanted Bay Area resistors to sign this letter. I resisted deployment to Iraq and Afghanistan, so did many others in the Bay Area chapter. And we did it, it was fine. But I met with her, we had coffee, and I'm like, let's do something more. What should we do? We sat, we thought, we're like, delegation, documentary film, talking to people, letting people speak for themselves, showing direct solidarity, not just a letter. You know, Stephen Funk, who couldn't be here tonight, also part of the DAM delegation, spent time in jail. I spent time in incarceration. And we wanted to tell people it wasn't that bad, it was worth it. Better than occupying, better than selling your soul, better than killing people. So we sat down, we're like, okay, we need a group of people to do this with. And then we built the DAM team. Eddie Falcone, Clay Baird, David Sletnik, and, you know, we divvied out tasks, and we had to do research. We had to find out what was happening there, what organizations existed, what was on the net, what was in Hebrew that we couldn't read that we should find out, what was in Arabic. And we eventually did it, and to the help of most of you in this room, we were able to be sent there. So it's enough for now, and we'll pass it along if anyone wants to say, and then we'll open up for questions. Sure, if it's quick, yeah.
Azim, I'd just like to introduce real quick, we're just talking in the back. Azim is from Palestine, he's studying at USF. And Nazma is a activist from Afghanistan, so. I know, they just wanted to say hello, thank you, and all that. Appreciate it. They were getting out the back door, I caught them before. Nice to meet you. Just say hello.
Well, you just said, I have to say hello, so hello. So just like I want to thank everybody and thank Professor Susan who brought me here. She's there. And she's my advisor, so I'm getting paid.
Extra credit.
So yeah, I don't know, there is no comment. What you guys saw, it's like like part of what we have over there, what we're going through every day, every moment. But just like I have one question, does Obama watch this movie? So thank you very much for everybody, and thank you very much, and keep going.
Good evening. I'm Asma Ashen. I'm one of the students at USF at IME. Excuse me. And this video that I will watch this evening is something that last year I went to Palestine, Israel with this young lady over here. And everything that you see is true. What I'm asking you to get out of your seats and go and be in the world, because in Palestine, Israel, in Afghanistan, need people like you that you're there for them, and you're supporting them by just maybe you need to walk the street with their children from checkpoint to their schools, or you need to just witness that you do care, that's why you're there. Because I'm also from an organization called,
you have to forgive me, what happened to my throat?
AfghansForTomorrow.org. I go every year plant trees. I've been doing this for 7 years. Over 150,000 trees. And majority of people is from the area, just like you. So, and thank you for this wonderful film. It's like I just went through this last year as if we win again, right?
Hi, I'm Eddie Falcone. I'm one of the people that actually sold their soul and went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan. We did about 4 tours, and in that, you know, I've done some things that I feel guilty about, I'm not going to lie. But going to this trip for me was quite a healing experience, because I was able to be on the other side, you know, and be backing up the Arab people. And that felt really good to me. And also, going around to different villages and everything, people thought I was Arab. That was pretty cool. So, you know, to know that I look like I'm on the side of the people now, you know, for me, it was a very, like, healing experience for me to go and back up people and be there in Palestine. And one day, you know, maybe we'll go back to Iraq or Afghanistan. So.
Hey, I'm Claire. I'm going to stay seated because I'm sick, sorry. It's so wonderful to see you all here tonight, and such amazing timing that we're able to be in the room together right now while this week of the world changing and the massive uprising in Egypt and across the Arab world is happening, and just how inspiring this amazing that is. It's a gift and a challenge for us. So just to say one thing of the many reasons why I felt so privileged and so excited to be part of this project and this delegation. I got involved with Palestine solidarity work during the beginning of the Second Intifada, and learned so much about grassroots nonviolent people's resistance from that movement. And I didn't meet an Israeli anti-militarist for 5 years after I had been doing that work. I had the privilege to be working with international conscientious objector movements and with a network called War Resisters International, and to meet people from New Profile, who you saw activists from in the film, and from Tayush, which is a joint Israeli-Palestinian project. And just thinking about it in terms of what Chris was saying earlier, of what it means for me living in a white settler nation, trying to do demilitarization work, and being able to take lessons from my peers in Israel who are doing some really deep work around the layers of militarism in society. And coming from a military family, I'm very interested in us both directly challenging the military and rooting out those deeper layers. So I've learned a tremendous amount from folks, but for us to be able to go and connect with people face to face, both to show that direct support and to bring some of those lessons home, just the ability to do that kind of face-to-face relationship building is something that you see little pieces of that in the film, of where that's happening with Israeli-Palestinian partnerships. But just to say one thing that I don't think you get to see this in the footage, but Orr Ben-David, you remember who she was?
Yes.
She's one of the Shminiyistim. So you saw both the rally that we were able to attend while she was imprisoned and the march that we were at in Benin, which was about 2 weeks later. She was in one of her, like, maybe 5 days in between jail terms, 2 days. She was out of jail for 2 days, and she went to Benin for the march. And we were watching her walking around hand in hand with this older guy who I assumed was her dad, because they just, you know, they were rolling kind of like that. There was a lot of love. And then after we got gassed back out, back down to the house where a lot of folks every week go and have tea and regroup and love on each other and keep the joy in the struggle, we're like, oh, actually, that's not Orr's dad. That's the guy who lives in his house, who's hosting everyone. And just seeing, like, that tenderness and love between this young Israeli refuser and this elder in the village, who was one of the folks who was the backbone of the struggle there, was really moving. And so, yeah, again, it's a challenge to us. We got these face-to-face relationships in the room, so what can we do with that to put that into translate that into more action, more support for these struggles?
Thank you. So now we're gonna open it up to a few questions. I think we're gonna take two or three questions at a time and then bring it back to the panelists. So please, as you can tell, the microphone doesn't stretch too far, so please step up if you have a question.
Yeah, but it's not gonna
be. I can just talk loud. My name's Ray with Code Pink. I want to say mad props with this amazing video, and I have two questions. One is, you all talked at various points in the film about boycott and divestment and about different companies that you saw firsthand profiting from the occupation or being part of these checkpoints. Can you talk about what those companies are and what we might do at home? And then second is, what is your target audience for this film? Like, if we know people around the country, who are you wanting to reach most with this film?
If there's another one, we can take it now, or we can. You can just go for it.
Just go for it.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So I don't know the exact details, so if anybody wants to fill in, but several years ago there was an international conference, I believe, where they decided Palestinian groups from within the occupied territories, as well as in the diaspora, decided that they wanted to take on, as a campaign to end the occupation, the tactic of boycott, divestment, and sanction. Obviously, a lot of the groups that you saw in the film have actively took on that call, and the Israeli groups are very much in favor of folks all over the world, within the U.S. and Europe in particular, to really heed that call and to, in their own lives and also within groups and organizations, take on boycotting Israeli companies, divesting from companies that directly profit from the occupation, and then, of course, sanctions on Israel. Until it ends the occupation of the Palestinian territories. So in terms of specific companies, there's up here at the table with Ian and Ashley, we have a little like brochure of resources and stuff like that. You can go there and there's websites that you can go check out that will have a list of like every company that that has connections to the Israeli occupation, but it's vast. Obviously, there's companies like Caterpillar, who makes the bulldozers that bulldoze homes. There's companies like Lockheed Martin, which directly provide weapons to the Israeli military. But then there's other companies like Victoria's Secret and Macy's and L'Oreal, I think.
Ahava.
What is it? The hummus company?
Sabra.
Anyways, there's other companies that also, either their work, that they get raw materials from Israeli settlements, or the labor is done in settlements, etc. And so there's many, many ways that our economy is directly connected with the Israeli occupation. So I definitely encourage people to check that out and educate themselves and decide how they best can fit into that campaign. I don't know if anybody wants to add on to it.
So I bet there's someone in the room, probably, from the Barrier Coalition to End Israeli Apartheid. Because if you're not on their mailing list and you're interested in supporting local boycott, divestment, sanctions work, you probably want to be on their mailing list. So is there anyone here who wants to take names?
Is there a Facebook page? So how can people get involved with this event?
Come find me.
Here, I'll take that. The question on target audience. I mean, we want everyone to see the film.
The anti-Deutsch.
But if we actually, I wanted to have David and have Dan produce a film that I could show to the very Zionist part of my family, and I wanted
my aunt and my grandmother to be able to hear voices that she could identify with religiously, culturally. And I really feel as though I can present this at the next big holiday that I actually show up to and be like, watch this film. And I want my family, and I want families of people who see as though that there's one narrative to Israel and Palestine, and this is the dominant narrative that sort of is very well known, and I wanted this film to challenge that. And I wanted this film, and I think David did an amazing job of actually being able to have a digestible piece of information that counters that narrative with one of its own. So.
Yeah. Any more questions? Got more time.
Is this going to be on YouTube for free?
Yes.
I think the most important thing for the people, 18-year-olds in Israel should really see this film when they're the last year of school. Because I was 18 and in Israel, and I just ran away from that. And I traveled the world. I didn't want to be in Israel at all. I didn't want to, you know, make any part of resistance or anything. I just wanted to get the hell out of there. But when I was 16, I had a dilemma. Like, should I go or should I not? Like, I had a lot of pressure to go from peer pressure. But every little film like this can upset that scale and like show people that are there that have this dilemma. There's a lot of kids in Israel. They feel like it's wrong to go. That like. They don't want to go, but because of career, it's a career choice. If you don't go, you're fucked in the career world. So it's important for them to know that there's other people. Like, Israelis don't know that there's a lot of Israelis that refuse. It's hidden in the media. So any link that they can see on Facebook or anything that shows them a film,
yeah. Thanks. That's Benny. He did the Hebrew translation for the film. So without him, like, we wouldn't have understood about a quarter of the interviews. So thanks, Benny. But yes, I do want to get it up online. We're touring with the film over the next couple months, and so we're going to be going out to cities all throughout California and on the East Coast, and then after that, I'm going to put it up online so folks can see it all over the place. We're also sending copies to the folks we met with in Israel so that they can distribute it and try to get it out to as many people there as well. But just like what you were saying, is that there's a lot of people who are on the fence and still go. Just to relay another quick anecdote was when we were in Berlin, Segev, who was the guy who was talking to his sister through the megaphone at the Israeli prison, he had refused to go to the army that summer, and we were all going to Berlin, and he was there, and he took his friend with him to the demonstration, and his friend was 18 and about to enlist in the army. And I was so shocked, because how could you be going to this demonstration, and you're literally getting gassed by the army, and the army's shooting at you?
Yeah.
They were right up front with all the stone throwers and everything. You know, there was definitely two sides here, and he was choosing a side. And, you know, he was still a little on the fence, but he was pretty decided he was going to go into the military. And that just blew my mind, because it just shows how ingrained in society this institution is. It's not just, you know, I mean, obviously the military is a big part of society in the U.S., but it's to such a different degree. So thanks for bringing that up, Benny.
I just want to thank you so much, because I thought the film was very comprehensive, and I really appreciate that you included some historical perspective and a lot of different issues that all tie together. And I also want to appreciate that you got so many people to come here tonight, and so many
especially young people. I've been working this movement for a long time, and it's very encouraging to see a lot of young people. I went to Palestine the first time in 92, and most recently about 5 months before you did. And by the way, the market in Hebron, the stores were open when I was there, so I guess they had been shut for a long time. Then they happened to open, and I guess they shut again because they were shut when you were there. But anyway, what I want to ask you is, number one, how did you get so many people to come here tonight? And especially because this same night, Breaking the Silence is showing in the East Bay, which we saw people from who made that film in this film. And so that's number one. And number two, you said that you're going to be touring. And I'd like to know, can we find out when you're going to be where? Because if we know people there, we can have them go see it. Thank you.
How do we get so many people here?
Give me free beer.
Well, we meant was you're supposed to bring us free beer. a lot of this project, I don't know if somebody wants to talk specifically about how this project came about, but I think I mentioned before that we organized a lot of benefits and we did a lot of events leading up to before the delegation left. We had a lot of friends in a variety of organizations, a lot of you were in the room, who helped us out, not only for fundraising, but also for educational purposes and try to get the word out about what Dan was doing and about what's going on in Israel and Palestine. So that helped. So there's been kind of a buzz about this for a while. Second, I lagged a bit in getting the film out, so definitely built up some anticipation. people have been bugging me for a while to see it, and so I hope you liked it. And then, I don't know, there's a lot of us here. We all have a lot of really great friends and really great ties to different folks in the community. And so I think that helps a lot, too. And you all decided to come out, so whatever your reason for coming out, that's how we got people up. And in terms of other screens, we're going to Southern California, Santa Barbara, LA, and San Diego in mid-February. We'll be back down in Southern California probably in April. And then at the very end of February and the first bit of March, we're going to be on the East Coast. We're going to have a bunch of screenings in New York and D.C., Baltimore, and Philly, I think. Maybe Philly.
Delaware.
And a screening in Wilmington, Delaware.
Thank you.
If you all sign up on the list, you can be spammed with messages. No, you won't get that many messages from us, but you may get an update about where we're going next. Also, if you check it at upheavalproductions.com. There's a link called Upcoming Screenings, and that lists everything that's going on. Also, next week, if anybody knows people in the North Bay and San Rafael, there's going to be a screening on February 10th.
Great.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you thought, we heard a lot of them explain their situation, but did you guys talk about your experience in the military and your experience resisting? And if so, what was their response?
Yeah, we definitely talked about our experiences. Well, it wasn't in the film, but every time we met some new group, we all had to tell like where we were from, why we were there, and like we all ended up telling, we had to tell, obviously we have like the same story where we came from, but I started noticing people's stories developing more too, like, not like saying they're telling lies, but like, people like started, digging deeper and like finding out new things that they had never processed before, having to start telling their, like I did for one, like I found out more things about myself, like being there. And, I found out more and more reasons actually brought me there, and actually I had more in common with Palestinian people than I thought before I went there. So we did share ours. It wasn't in the film, we would have bored you to death, so we didn't put it in there. But does anyone, is that it?
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, you had some.
Yeah, okay. So, there's a film behind this film that we didn't see, and I hope it will be made by you or someone close to you someday, which is the Americans, like the feedback loop between Americans and and Israelis, and how to shift that. It's now an extremely negative feedback loop where the Israelis teach us to torture, and then we take it a step further and like that into some kind of positive feedback loop, which I felt just beginning, like when I met Maya and Netta on the great tour that they did here. So if you, you know, your film is so powerful, but if you could just say something more about that connection of Americans to Israelis, because we're both trapped in this really tragic thing of both being occupiers of Arabs, among others.
I think we were going to have like a extras section in a DVD maybe one day. Maybe.
Hopefully, yeah, we were talking about that, having like an extras, and like, because there was like places that we went that didn't make the film. Like, we went to Golan Heights and met like some really like cool people there, and like Matt went to Nalin, and like there's like more like, you know, like on the ground resistance, like action going on there in Nalin. They have a weekly protest too. So yeah, I would like to see a DVD with some other like outtakes and some things like that. Bruce, before you go, did you bring the flyers?
Just one other thing I would add to that is I don't know if it's so much shifting one loop that was happening into a different one we want to happen. I think there's been the loop of the politicians and the empire makers that's been happening and is continuing to happen, but there's been the loop of the resistors and the left and radical and progressive movements for generations and decades. Like, we're not starting something new through this project. We're trying to build off what's already been happening and then make that bigger. So I think that at the same time that the people who are, you know, building wars keep on doing it, that what we're trying to do is build up and amplify that other force underneath it of where people's resistance movements are connecting with each other.
Just real quick, since I see people walking out, I want to make an announcement. There's a protest tomorrow at 6 p.m. at Frank Ogawa Plaza for Martin Flanagan that just died last week on Wednesday. I think OPD killed like 3 people last week. They killed Mark Flanagan, some other dude that was like got shot by a high school police officer, and then some other guy they shot in Rockridge. And so the police are basically going on a killing spree here in OPD. They don't give a shit. So we're having a protest and rally and a vigil to celebrate his life, and, you know, a rally to protest his death. And, you know, I just want to say y'all should come out and you support this type of stuff, because, you know, there's people here that are going through a lot of stuff too and going through a lot of oppression, and it really sucks because a lot of times we get, you know, I mean, this person is a friend of mine, someone who I rap with, this is his friend, and so, like, you know, we got together to put this protest together. But, you know, when people like rappers or whoever, kids from the hood, get shot, we get passed off as like some criminals or some thugs by society. And so, you know, but when cops come and shoot us, you know, they're painted as heroes when they gang up on us, and that's bullshit. So I want y'all to definitely try to come out and pay attention to what's going on in Oakland, y'all.
Couple more questions.
Well, it's more another announcement about Saturday at 1 o'clock at Market and right. There's a solidarity with the people of Egypt and Tunisia, and come out for that, please.
There's flyers for it on the table over there if you want to take some to share with people.
And we'll have a little bit of time for announcements at the end. So if we have, if anyone else, not for general announcements, but, okay.
I'll talk loud. So I really appreciated Maya really talking about how much militarism is like shifting and reconfiguring like everyday life in Israel. And I guess I'm wondering if there's a conversation in resistor circles that you encountered, and if so, like what that was like around how militarism is impacting or what it does to a Jewish cultural legacy specifically. And then my second question is just what what is your ongoing relationship with folks that you connected with there looking like in terms of carrying forth the work of DAM or just, you know, kind of mutual support now a little while later and going into the future?
So I'm Facebook friends with a lot of the people I met in Israel and Palestine. I am Facebook friends with them, but there is also conversations happening. At least we send emails. There are organizations. There was a lot of follow-up that we had to do with the film, getting pictures, getting all sorts of little bits of information that these organizations had, and they stepped up again. Not only did they meet with us, but months later they sent us all this stuff in the mail, and so the links are there. You know, the international campaign, the BDS movement, is definitely happening. It's a slow, steady, gradual movement that like is not flashy, but it does make an impact. So in terms of that relationship, it continues. But everyone has their own struggles there as well. They're busy. They are fighting every day on the ground, just as we're fighting every day on the ground here. But those conversations turned into friendships, and those friendships are still there, and I'm friends with, you know, a few of those people. We send happy emails to each other. In terms of what it says about the militarization of like Jewish culture, I think Ido, the Anarchist Against the Wall, who also served in Lebanon, who also did house raids in Belin, really hit it on the head in terms of separating Judaism and Zionism. And the dominant narrative that I sort of alluded to before is that narrative, is this connection between if you are a Jew, you are a Zionist, because the Israeli state means all these things, and how could you possibly be against all those things when it is your people? And I think that many of the Israeli Jews that we met countered that line by line by line, saying that they wanted nothing to do with the occupation, they wanted nothing to do with the privilege that Judaism afforded them in their daily lives. And I thought that was off the board, that was the common theme. And the number one thing that Israelis wanted us to send back was, one, the BDS movement, two, realize U.S. taxpayers is funding the occupation, and three, that Jews and Zionists are not the same thing.
Also, we had a protest, was it an action, something, where were we at?
An open Shabbat Street action, where were we at?
I don't live in the city anymore, I forget what everything's called over here, Union Square.
Yeah.
So we were at Union Square and we shut down the street at Powell for a while, and I mean that was like organized with people like who were doing open Shabbat Street action in Hebron, and we did that last February, and it's coming up this February again, but we're a little bit, I don't know if we're going to be able to organize it, but if that's something that maybe some of y'all would like to try to do, you know, that'd be cool, and we can, you know, continue opening up these, you know, relationships.
Yeah, February 25th. It's an international day of action, the Open Shahuda Street Coalition, which was a project initiated by folks, mostly youth in Hebron, but particularly in coalition with people in South Africa, because there have been delegations going back and forth with South Africans who were leaders in the anti-apartheid movement there, coming to Hebron in particular, and some folks saying, wow, this is worse than what we were dealing with. And so stepping up to a lot of international leadership with coordinating different stuff happening around the world to draw attention to Hebron not as a unique place, but as kind of a very intense symbol of what's going on all through the area. We've also done a number of other smaller actions around like public outreach combined with letter writing parties when Jamal from Stop the Wall and a couple more Shministim were in jail at the same time, of trying to use it as an opportunity to just have random conversations with people at the ferry building or whatever that is, like the farmers market, who are not often exposed to conversations about this, to also generate support to be able to send them more letters while they were in jail. And yeah, just staying in touch with folks, particularly in Sheikh Jarrah and in Breaking the Silence in Jerusalem, to see if there's ways that there are concrete things we can do to support their projects. So this is another reason why, if you're not on the email list, that the sign-up sheet out front will get you on already. We would love to have your name so that we can
share more upcoming things with you.
I was going to say very specifically, too, in terms of keeping these relationships going, a few of the folks that lived in Israel while we were there now live in the U.S., too, and we have very good relationships with those folks. Maya, for example, is now at Columbia, and so to all your friends on all the East Coast tour, not all of the East Coast tour dates, but most of the East Coast tour dates, Maya's going to be coming with us to speak as well.
I'll just speak up. We saw briefly the complication between yourselves and IDF. I'm kind of curious to hear more about the interaction between your guys' delegation and the IDF forces.
So there's a few times that we bumped into the IDF. Every time we got into a car and drove more than a few miles, we stopped at checkpoints. Generally, though, we were lucky. We were a van full of internationals, and we were waved right through, even though we had to wait in the queue of cars, you know, for a few hours. But once they saw who we were, it's like, oh, please, enter. When we got gassed at Baleen, with that rapid fire, multiple launch, tear gas canisters raining down, you know, I had a few choice words to scream back at the line of Israelis who were doing that. You know, there were circumstances when we were locked behind the immigration gate, the worker gate, and, you know, it was a standoff. These soldiers knew, because they were told that we had this footage, we're saying that's not the case, and they have the guns, and we have the American passports, and, you know, it becomes a test of wills. You know, during daily life, when we were sort of off the interview circuit in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem, there are soldiers everywhere. There are soldiers behind you buying gum. There are soldiers in front of you, you know, waiting for the light to turn. They're everywhere. And those were normal human interactions of, oh, sorry, I bumped you. Or, you know, it became normalized. And it was interesting how quickly it became normal that some dude was just walking down the street with an Uzi. Just chilling. Like, he was out getting lunch. And it was, you know, extremely interesting.
They watched me a lot. They looked at me, and like, I even got stopped in Tel Aviv and asked like where I was going and like if I had any papers and stuff like that. I got confused for an Arab a few times. That's why I didn't go to Nilin, because I didn't want to get shot. But oh, yeah.
Sorry. I went to Nilin. So there's two flashpoints. There's Bilin, which has been going on for 5 years. Every Friday. Then there's Nilin, which is a little bit more recent. They use live ammunition at Nilin. It's right across the ravine from one of the settlements. And the settlers would have complained to the IDF that because of the weekly demonstrations and the use of gas, that the settlers cannot enjoy their Shabbat dinner because the cloud of gas sort of wafts over, and then they have to go inside, and, you know, it's difficult to look out and see the occupied territories. So instead, the IDF used live ammunition. And the day I went there, two people were shot. And it was normal. And that was our interactions, you know? It was them across the line, and you heard the bullets flying overhead from the snipers. And if the snipers wanted to shoot me, they could have shot me. Instead, they shot the Palestinian next to me. You know, it's real.
So this whole event tonight, from the door, what we just raised, we raised about $1,950. Yeah.
Drinks on us.
No. You still got to buy us a drink.
Yeah. We good?
So, to just wrap up, I want to let you know about a couple other upcoming events, ways to stay involved. Coming up on Tuesday the 15th and Wednesday the 16th, Palestinian Queer Activists Talk Politics. It'll be featuring activists from Al-Qaz and Aswad. It's really important to come out and support that. A lot of times what's happening right now is Israel is appealing to liberal, this like liberal idea that
like and racist idea about ascribing a lot of like homophobia to the Arab world and saying that's an excuse to go in there and you know imperialize it. And so it's really important to be hearing directly from queer Palestinian activists and help resist that type of pink washing. Another upcoming event, this is actually that next Thursday, February 17th, Never Again for Anyone tour, which is sponsored by the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network and the Mideast Children's Alliance. Hayo Mayer is a survivor of Auschwitz, and he's touring with Dr. Hatem Bazian, who works against Islamophobia. And he's Hayo Mayer is going to be speaking about his experiences surviving the Holocaust and how the Holocaust narratives are used to justify genocide against Palestinians. So it's really important. There's actually, you know, there's not many chances to keep to hear from survivors of the Holocaust and the way that that narrative is appropriated and used to perpetrate, you know, horrible things that we saw in this film is really important. So that's going to be Thursday, February 17th in Oakland. And if you want a flyer for it that has information, come get one.
Is anyone from Iraq here? So, unsurprisingly, the Arab Resources and Organizing Center also supported this delegation a lot. They are crazy busy right now, as you might imagine, mobilizing. But the event that Toby announced, the Queer Palestinians event, they're co-sponsoring that as well as working on the demo for this Saturday. And there's more information about them that's over on the table over there if you want to check that out too. Veterans for Peace also big, big help in organizing the event tonight. And Bill, are you still here?
No, he's gone.
He's gone. Okay, cool.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for everybody who donated especially. That really helps. There's a ton of costs associated with getting this out, getting this into film festivals, getting this circulated, getting free copies out to schools, and et cetera, et cetera. So thanks so much for coming out.